A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe. Okay.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Ground ball, right side, into right field, a base hit. Here comes Schwarber, around third, heading for home. Here's the throw to the plate. Not in time! Bryce Harper wins it. Here in the bottom of the 10th inning, 3-2.
Well, I'm George here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe and Sean with you this week while Paul is on vacation. Austin Rodriguez behind the glass, producing for us this week all week long. For us, the Astros lost last night in extra innings. The Manfred Mann rule struggles continue for this team. Josh Hader was absolutely electric in the ninth, and then they lost in the tenth. I hate it. I hate this rule. I think it's stupid. Maybe I hate it because the Astros suck at it.
That certainly plays a part. I understand the desire for, hey, we're going to play 162 of these things. Let's speed up the extras a little bit. But I don't like it in the 10th inning. I think it should be once we get into the 12th, 13th, that's when you need the artificial game, I guess, quickener there.
Yes.
But yeah, the man for man, it's just a bad rule. Like, it's just, it is a bad rule. And I'm sure some of it is selfish or self-serving with the Astros struggles in that situation, but it's not, I don't know, but the whole idea of it is that Josh Hader, his ERA did not go up.
Okay, so
after
that's like,
giving up a game-winning run.
We'll get into this part first, and we'll talk about more of the game and the Astros struggles with the Manfred man. That's one of my biggest beefs with it. I hate that they don't even agree on what goes on a pitcher's record.
Yeah.
He gets a loss,
yes.
But his ERA doesn't get affected.
Yes.
It shows you that the whole thing is just stupid. I got why they did it during the pandemic in theory, I guess. I mean, like, is they wanted people in the ballpark for less amount of times.
Well, yeah, and whatever. It's also 60 games that you kind of have to get them all.
Yeah, you know, you don't want guys playing 18 innings and then playing the next day because they're trying to play 60 games in a season. Yeah. That's fine. I'm with you. I don't like it in the 10th. I would rather it be in the 11th or the 12th inning. But the facts are is that you're right. Part of it is the Astros. Since 2020, the Astros are 22-38 with the ghost runner rule in place. At home, they're 14-16. So at least at home, they're almost .500. But that's a 36% win percentage. With the ghost runner.
Yeah, over 4 years.
They suck at it. Like, it's just, they're, so that's not Joe Espada. That's not Dusty Baker. That's not one player or the other. Just like organizationally, for some reason, they're absolutely terrible with the extra runner. And this goes back to a little bit about, you know, the Brian Abreu game, where he was a disaster, you know, this weekend against the Orioles. But once again, the Astros lineup is just, they're asking Brian Abreu, Josh Hader, Presley, Neris, whoever it is now, to be perfect at all times. I mean, you have a runner on second base, and you don't even score.
Yeah, the offense in these situations, because that's really when you list out their records in these games in the last, I guess now, 5 years, even though 2020 was only 60 games, but they somehow played 9 extra inning games. I think part of it is that all these years they've had a good offense, or they've had good outcomes. They're in the ALCS every year. They went to 2 World Series, won one of them during the stretch. But there is something about, I don't know if it is an approach thing, but that's where your mind goes to, because there's no reason that a team should be this bad over this long of a sample in these situations, with this good of an offense, with this many different players in the situation. Because you think about the lineup in 2020 and 2021 and how different it is from the lineup that we see most, I mean, that we saw yesterday, or we see most games in 2024 now. It does lend the does lend credence to the fact that there might be something wrong with the approach or the strategy that they're going with in these situations.
Yeah, it's almost, and we're going to like to do just a more lengthier segment on this after DJ Bieniemy does this, but maybe bunt occasionally. I'm not really a big guy believer in bunting very often, but
I think if it's the, and this isn't relevant to the 10th last night, but I think bottom of the order you should definitely bunt.
Yeah, it's funny. Catfish here on the Twitch says regular season ties would be better than this dumbass rule.
Look, I kind of agree.
I agree. Like
I kind of agree.
You know, they don't, or at least I don't want to tie. I wish they would go with the hockey approach. Two shows, two hockey references for Austin.
Whoa.
In hockey, if you lose in overtime, the winning team gets 2 points into their win column, like they always do. In overtime, the losing team gets a point.
The pity point.
Yeah. Let's bring that to baseball.
There's been way too much hockey talk, but I do agree.
Like, let's, let's call it, like, give the Astros like a half a win. If or any team, I mean, baseball.
That's how it works in the NFL. When you get a tie, it counts as half a win. But yeah, I think I agree. It is. It feels un-American to be like, yes, sign me up for ties, because we as a country don't really get down with ties like that. We want a winner and a loser in all these games. But if you're already going to artificially shorten the game, the whole idea that this is a rule in the regular season. It is not a rule in extra innings in the postseason. I feel like that tells you all you need to know about how good this rule is.
Well,
if you're not willing to, the games that decide actually who's going to be the champion of your sport, if you're like, oh, I'm not going to do this Mickey Mouse rule for this, like that tells you how we should think about this rule.
The only problem with that take is that they all do it. The only sport that doesn't do this is basketball, is the NBA.
Yeah, which is fine.
Everyone else has different rules in the regular season and then the postseason. The NFL overtime rules in hockey, they play 3-on-3.
They do?
Yes. Wow. That's new. They play 3-on-3 hockey.
I've learned so much about hockey.
Like they take guys off the ice. Now, maybe baseball should do that. What if it better rule?
Instead of putting a guy on second,
you take away an outfielder and an infielder. Make it harder. Only two guys in the outfield, only three guys on the infield. You know, just take guys off the field. Just see what happens. I don't know. It might be more entertaining than this.
I can't imagine the shift that would have, like the shifting that would have to happen there.
Yeah.
I don't think that really shortens.
No, because there would just be a gajillion runs scored.
Yeah, because everyone would get on base all the time. But it's definitely more. If you're going to have a rinky-dink Mickey Mouse rule,
let's make it fun.
At least that one's fun. Yeah, I'll give that.
The man for man's not fun. The Ghost Runner is not a fun rule that's put into place. Like, the NBA is going to do this soon. They're going to adopt the Elam ending at some point where it's like you have a certain point total that you're going to go to, which I don't. It's fine for like the basketball tournament that the Cubs finished second in. I don't need it in the regular season of an NBA game.
Yeah, it's funny because they did that for a couple years with the All-Star game. And then recently, I think the last two All-Star games, they're like, eh, let's just 12-minute quarters. Yes. Like, what are we doing?
From the 713, why not put the Ghost Runner on first? It's annoying win-lose that a runner automatically is put on second base. That ruins the integrity of the game. I agree. I like that better. Now, we know how that would go. Jake Myers would just hit into a double play, and the Astros would still be terrible in extra innings because, you know, that's what they do is hitting double plays. It feels like all the time, especially the bottom of the order. But, yeah, if the runner was on first, I would feel better about that than it being there. From the 832, no thank you. Just win the game like you're supposed to. No gimmies. Astros had their chance to score with their best hitters up, just didn't. You know what? From the 832, that's a correct statement.
Yes.
The offense, just the best players didn't come through in yesterday's game. Like, that has been it's a regression to the mean without Kyle Tucker. You know, they were so good without him for so long that you just knew at some point the offense was just going to struggle a little bit more. But it's just not collectively over a 4-year period to be that bad in the man-for-man rules. It's just bizarre because, like, it's not an indictment on the Astros, I would really say. I mean, we see what they do getting to the postseason. I think that's why I just don't like it. You know, it's they're what 5-9 this year, so it's not terrible. They were 1-8 last year.
Yeah,
so that's progress. Step back in the right direction, I would say. But I just don't enjoy the rule itself. It's not necessarily just about last night's game. It's almost like old man baseball take, but like, I think the texter's right. It like ruins the integrity of the game a little bit.
Yeah, again, it's so artificial. Of just the guy who got out at the bottom of the ninth is now on second base. It's an absurd rule to throw out there and decide who wins and loses games. And on the other hand, though, I agree with the first text of, hey, it was Bregman, Alvarez, Diaz.
They should have won. You got to get guys home.
Should have scored. Someone should have scored.
Yes, you have to score. So that way Josh Hader doesn't have to be perfectly perfect
again. Yeah, I didn't love how FS1 handled the Josh Hader discourse when he went into the game. Did you hear did that stand out to you?
I must have missed that.
When he was pitching the ninth, they're basically talking about it like, well, they're going to get two shutout innings from Josh Hader.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
They're just like, well, marking him down for he is going to be perfect the next two innings. So you have two innings to score a run is basically what they're talking about it as. And sitting at home, I was like, they do not know the trials and tribulations that Josh Hader is underwent when he's not closing a game, when he's not pitching with a lead. He is a much different pitcher than when he is pitching with a lead, especially when they stretch him into that second inning. And
yeah,
I don't know if it's really anything specific with Hader or if it's just if you're making me pitch two innings, I'm just more likely to give up a run.
I think
when you're asking me to be perfect.
And when you're asking, and then there's a guy automatically on second base. Now, to be fair, he was, you know, I know he got the loss, but no earned runs. So they're not totally incorrect.
True. Chandler Rome tweeted out seconds after after Harper singled, was like, Josh Hader still a 0.00 ERA in the last 11 11 August appearances.
I mean, he's been incredible this year in save situations with 28 straight save appearances. He's been better as of late in non-save situations like we saw last night. Another text from the 832, home run derby for extra innings, longest home run wins. There has to be a limit.
Three swings.
Yeah, three swings. I don't need Yordan Alvarez taking 15 hacks.
Three swings, three different hitters. One swing per hitter. You just walk up. You have your batting practice coach throw you a pitch, and yeah, just whoever has the more
what's
most
your
home runs.
What's your order? Alvarez goes first to set the tone.
Is it with last night's lineup?
Or no, I think you'd be able to set your lineup.
Okay, so
that's what the All-Star game rules are.
I'd go your no. I just mean with who's available.
Oh yeah,
from last night.
I think you should be able to use any player.
I'm asking if I can use Kyle Tucker.
No.
Okay. Then I would go. I'd go Alvarez. I think I'd go Alvarez, Diaz, Altuve.
Okay.
Out of last night's, or I guess Altuve wasn't in last night's lineup, but he pinch hit.
He pinch hit, so he's fine. Even if they're on the bench, they should be able to use that. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Home run derby to decide games instead of the man for man rule. I'm good with all that stuff.
Maybe Shea Whitcomb. The only guy who scored any runs.
Like I the rookies, as much as this team has struggled, like they've gotten enough contribution to be satisfied with what you've got from Whitcomb and our guy Ben Gamble. Got another hit last night.
For a bunch of guys that we thought wouldn't play at the start of the season, maybe we thought Loperfido would come up. And as far as the position players,
yeah,
I don't think there's really any other young guys come up that we maybe Pedro Leon. But for the DiZinzos, the Shea Whitcombs, I think you have to be impressed by what you've gotten out of them. I mean, especially based on the expectations, which again were the
zero
basement, yes, but they have overcome those tiny expectations. Ben Gamble, he might have messed around and been too good his first game, where he goes 1-for-4, and you're like, that's it.
I mean, you know, it's so funny. Like, it's like this guy got cut and
like a week ago.
He's hitting .289 on the season. Like, it's weird to know that you pick someone up off waivers and they have almost a 300 batting average on the season. Obviously, he's not like that.
Yeah, he's not that every, dude. Everyday player.
But like he's like just it's weird to like look at the box score and then see it. Do I want to retract my statements about Victor Caratini playing first base after that pop-up, which was nearly a disaster? A little bit.
Okay.
That was way too hard
for
Victor Caratini.
What you do? He was rusty. He's rusty up there.
I mean, he caught it.
He's used to having to throw off a face mask before the catch.
Yeah, he looked uncomfortable on that play at first base.
Yeah.
All right, get your thoughts into the on the Astros game. What do you want to see? Do you want to get rid of the man-for-man rule? 409 Josh says extra innings should be pitchers batting and position players pitching. Love it. Let's make it super gimmicky. Like, if you're going to do it, just go
all
the way in.
Yeah. That's our question. Solutions for extra innings baseball, but make it as entertaining as possible.
Yeah. Or just, you know, like Astros, you know, hitters, like, just don't suck. That also could be a good solution.
Okay, Joe.
All right. Every year, Mike Sando puts out one of my favorite articles on The Athletic. He gets over, I think it's like over like 50 GMs and coaches and executives throughout the NFL, and they put out their quarterback tiers. They're anonymous, so they put them in. Usually they're pretty fair. Just as an example, Patrick Mahomes, he's number one on the list. He got all 50 tier one votes. Where does CJ Stroud rank? Is it fair? And who should he be in front of? That's next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros lost last night, game one of the Phillies series. They'll also likely, just guessing, be without Josh Hader, Brian Abreu, and Hector Neris for tonight's game since they all pitched in back-to-back days.
Sweet.
So good luck, Justin Verlander. Hopefully you can get seven innings and some run support, as he's on his second start back since he returned from rehab. So hopefully we'll see a good performance from him tonight. I thought he was pretty good in his first start.
Yeah.
He was solid.
He was about an average 2024 Justin Verlander start at this point. Not a ton of length. Give up an early couple run or two and settle in.
It's also cut day for the NFL. They're working out a 53-man roster, so there's a bunch of cuts happening for the Houston Texans, bunch of guys who I forgot are on the roster, but here are some of the ones that stand out. Ben Skowronek is so far the only wide receiver that's been cut.
I was high on Skowronek.
They did trade for him, so they get draft capital for him. Charlie Heck, who was drafted out of North Carolina a couple years ago, has been the backup swing tackle. He's been hurt, so I wouldn't be shocked if they find a way to bring him back. No fullback mentality for the Houston Texans. They cut both their fullbacks today, Andrew Beck and Troy Harrison. So we'll talk to DJ Bieniemy. I saw some of his tweets. Brevin Jordan, Cade Stover. I think a lot of Cade Stover, actually, will just kind of fill that role.
Yeah.
Of how they might use him.
As an H-back
kind of
role.
Right now, Tim Boyle is the only quarterback that's been cut. And
no surprise.
In a position that I don't really think is good after your first two guys, Derek Stingley Jr. and Kamari Lassiter. Today, so far, the Houston Texans have cut C.J. Henderson, Desmond King, and Mike Ford. So they've cut three cornerbacks today, which means they're going to be cutting past 53, or they'll be cutting guys throughout the week, and they're going to be doing some hardcore waiver claims at the cornerback position because Mike Ford's terrible, C.J. Henderson's not good. Desmond King surprises me just because, like, what if Petrie gets hurt? That's his role. And I don't know. We saw what happened last year. They cut Desmond King. The position wasn't very good. And then thankfully the Steelers cut him, so they brought him back, and he was pretty good for the Texans. So that one surprised me a little bit. But DJ Bieniemy, who will join us at 2 o'clock, he said he's a surprise cut to keep an eye out for. So they're obliterating the cornerback room, which already wasn't good. And hopefully they'll get some better players in return.
Yeah, the Okuda, Henderson, even kind of bringing back King, it was a little bit of their strategy of, hey, let's kind of throw some darts, see if anyone sticks.
Yeah.
I guess Okuda's still on the team as of right now. He has not yet been
cut. He's going to make the team.
And And so it looks like, or at least right now, we're only seeing the in-progress look at their strategy. But
oh, I missed one. Oh. A big one. Noah Brown was released.
Oh, he was?
Yes. I missed that with Aaron Wilson tweets about all these teams. He's probably tweeted 10,000 times
yes.
in the last like 2 hours, so I missed that one. But Noah Brown also has been released by the Houston Texans. Okay. Possible bring him back via injury. Like it's not totally impossible, but to answer Hugh Dabb's question, then that means that John Metchie will most likely make the roster. Robert Woods will likely make the roster. Xavier Hutchinson will stay on it. So with Noah Brown no longer being here, I guess just injuries caught the best of them there. I mean, that's kind of what happened to Charlie Heck. That's what happened to Desmond King, is these guys have just been hurt. And instead of using one of your 8 IR spots that you get throughout the season, they're just getting rid of them. So that one's actually, that's definitely the most surprising so far of everything they've done.
Yeah, because we talked about it yesterday where we thought that was going to be the move if you want to get both Hutchinson and Metchie on this roster, was to short-term IR Noah Brown. And that's kind of what we had had set as the expectation for that. And so him getting cut, A, that to me means, like you mentioned, Metchie and Hutchinson, welcome to the 53-man roster.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit of a surprising move. Noah Brown was a guy who I think did he have like 150 yards?
Or? He had 250-yard games last year.
He had two 150-yard games. I wasn't sure if it was one 200 or two 150.
Yeah, I think it was two 150 games.
Yeah, so he's a guy who has had moments in this offense. I do think that there's still something there. I really feel strong that he should be on a team.
Yeah, he'll be on a team.
Just health permitting, I would say. But that is surprising.
Yeah, you look at teams like, he could really, and honestly, anyone. Like, there's
he
probably,
could start for the Chargers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a low bar.
I just picked a team.
Like Josh Palmer and I guess Quentin. I can't catch Johnson.
No, he's behind McConkey.
Oh, McConkey. Yeah, that's
but true. Above Johnson.
Forgot about Ladd. Ladd. What a name, Ladd McConkey. But so that's where we're at right now with the Texans. The Noah Brown one. John Metchie did enough in the preseason where I thought it was very fair that for him to make the roster. It would have shocked me if they didn't. I haven't seen much about the running back room yet for today. I think Jawar Jordan, they're going to try to practice squad. But we haven't seen any Cam Akers news, any Damian Pierce news right now. So I would imagine that both those guys will make the roster. There is still, 2.5 hours to go until we get to that, but until the final cutdown point. But we'll just keep an eye on that throughout the show. We'll be on Cut Watch today. Anything important, we'll let you guys know when it happens. But Noah Brown cut by the Houston Texans along with like 50% of the cornerback room. We're going to save the CJ Stroud stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because we got a couple minutes left in the segment. So ironically, yesterday we talked about this Justin Herbert story getting stuck in an elevator.
Yes.
And then I said that my worst fear was to get stuck on a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then like right on cue after the show, there's this video of these people at an amusement park in Mexico stuck like 200 feet in the air because it's stormy.
Like the most terrifying situation. When I was like, I don't know how scared I am of that because when does it ever happen? B, I guess you're stuck on a roller coaster.
Yeah, this is one of those ones that spins.
I saw this video and I was like, it really was the universe being like, nope, you're wrong. Yeah. It's the most horrifying thing and it does happen.
Like they're 250 feet in the air and they're just hanging on these park benches, it looks like. And I'm like, that would be the worst possible. That or being upside down. Like if you upside get stuck on a roller coaster upside down.
That's what I was thinking when I was saying how it doesn't seem like it's that terrifying. I was thinking, well, I guess the ones that you're upside down, if you're stuck upside down, that would be because you just naturally feel like you're going to fall at all times. But yeah, this one's tough.
Yeah, Deb points out it was stormy. Like it's like pouring rain. It's like it started lightning, and the people who run the park were like, oh no, we're near metal, and they just like left him up there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know what? That is a likely story, I would say. That is likely what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's just, you know, probably not the same rules and regulations, I'm going to guess, at an amusement park in Mexico that there is in the United States.
Yeah.
It's probably a little bit different.
Mexico amusement park is not where I'm going to be spending a lot of time on the – depending on the safety regulations.
Yeah, I've only been to Mexico once. We did a resort for our honeymoon like 3 years after the fact, after we got married, because the world shut down 2 months after we got married.
Nice.
They were like, you can leave if you want. I was like, no, I'm good, man. Like, I'm not
to
like,
go home to what?
There's these bars that people always walk to. I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm going to stay on this fancy resort I paid too much money for. I'm not going to be just like walking the streets of Mexico, not knowing where I'm at. Also, probably drunk. Like, that seems like bad ideas.
No, it does. It is, you know what? It is a bad idea. I'll say it is a bad idea to be wandering around Mexico drunk.
Yes. All right. In case you missed the next, everything we missed over the weekend, any other big cuts in the NFL we'll hit on as well. That's next year on Glatton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
Doesn't ring the bell. Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely not.
And now, in case you missed it, with Glatton George.
Joe, Sean, and Austin here with you on Glatton George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll be back, or we'll be live tomorrow at the Best Stop in Katy. They brought some boudin egg rolls today, some boudin balls, some different kinds of sausages today.
It was delicious.
It was very good. I can't wait to go back tomorrow. They said today was like a sampler for us.
Yeah, we had someone here who had never had boudin, and she was like, oh my God, this is like
who was that?
Really good. Sam. Never had it.
How is someone from Illinois had boudin before her?
I have no idea. That's her. She has to answer those questions. But yeah, she was legitimately taken aback by how good it was.
Remember the first time when we at L'Auberge this on Thursday and Friday? Remember the first time we went? We crushed those boudin egg rolls there.
Oh yeah, like,
we
oh,
ate
my God.
So many.
Yeah,
B-Bag and Sean we got extra fat that week.
They had like a buffet outside. Yeah. For March Madness, and yeah, they have boudin egg rolls, and I'm still chasing that high.
I think we're going to have to ask for Chef Lyle to whip some up for us on Thursday and Friday. All right, the Houston Astros, in case you missed it, are adding to their roster. I don't know what this means about Kyle Tucker, but they are adding 35-year-old Jason Hayward to the roster, hitting .205 this season. Woohoo!
When we talked about Ben Gamble coming in, I was going to say, if they didn't have Ben Gamble, I imagine the noise we'd be hearing about should the Astros sign Jason Hayward.
Well, here he is, per Brian McTaggart. The Astros are close to signing outfielder Jason Hayward. Oh, man. Why does, like, all my trash from Chicago follow me here? Like, all these guys who, like, are just, like, got overpaid by some team in Chicago end up in Houston. At some point. To you, listen. I'm sorry.
Oh, my
Dustin
God.
Dustin Baker. It worked out well. Like, Lovie Smith. Jason Hayward. Welcome to Houston.
The Rockets are going to have Zach LaVine. Oh, my God. All your trash.
I was hoping they get Derrick Rose.
Really? That was something you were hoping for?
I was like, give me backup point guard Derrick Rose.
Dude. Oh, yeah.
Like, just, you know, roll it out there. Just see what happens. All right. So, Jason Hayward is going to be a member of the Houston Astros. We'll see what that means for the roster.
At the very least, if he's on the playoff roster and they're in Game 7 or World Series, maybe he can give an inspirational speech again like he did for the Cubs.
Yes. He did hit .269 last year.
For the Dodgers.
For the Dodgers. So, you know, it is possible.
He can basically only face righties at this point of his career. Actually, at most points of his career. But now he is a role player enough to where he is essentially righties only.
Yeah.
Split sky.
So, Chaz? Like.
Because
isn't that Chaz McCormick's role? Are we sending out Ben Gamble? I think I like Ben Gamble, guys.
Yeah, I'm too attached to Ben Gamble after his first game. After really only his first game. There hasn't been much else to get myself worked up about Ben Gamble with. We've already learned his name. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Paul has probably already forgotten his name.
He definitely won't know it.
I think it'd be cruel to cut him at this point.
All right. In case you missed it, Kadarius Toney has been released by the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right.
One of the bigger names so far we've seen today. Aaron Judge hit homers number 50 and 51 this weekend. We're going to get that stupid. Are we going to get the TV thing again today or this year?
I'm afraid that we will get the Chasing 62,
whatever it is.
Yeah, pop into whatever you're watching on ESPN will be interrupted by a Aaron Judge at bat.
Yeah, the one I remember the most vividly was it was a Cougs game. It was a Cougs football game, and they broke into it to show an Aaron Judge at bat, and they made the Cougs the small part.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what I'm here for.
There's one where it was a Clemson-Wake Forest game it was the same season because it was with the Aaron Judge thing. And it was like 35 to 31. Wake Forest was winning, and Clemson was like fighting for their lives to beat Wake Forest. And then there's a 10-minute break for an Aaron Judge at bat where he gets walked.
Yeah, I hope that they learn their lessons from that. And they don't do that again this year because it was just very, very unnecessary. So in case you missed it, there's no longer divisions in the SEC and in the Big Ten this year. It's just one standard conference. And the SEC and the Big Ten have put out their rules for tiebreakers.
Yeah, to select who will be in the title
game. Yes, who will be in the title game. There's six tiebreakers for each conference.
Yes.
They all... Makes sense?
Yes.
Until if somehow none of the first five tiebreakers, both conferences have decided that there will be a random draw amongst the tied teams for who plays in the conference championship game. So Georgia's the one seed. Georgia's in. Texas and Texas A&M are...
Well, they would play him.
Oh, that's right. They play ahead.
It would be like
Texas and
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss are head-to-head, and all these tiebreakers pan out. Random draw. What does a random draw mean? Like, is the commissioner just
straws,
saying...
right? It has to be drawing straws.
I think the commissioner is just saying, I'm picking the person who's going to give us better television ratings. Right?
Like
they're not going to show it. Like, we have no proof.
It'll be a backroom deal, is what you're saying?
Yeah, we have no proof that the Houston Rockets lost the coin flip to the San Antonio Spurs that gave the Rockets better odds to get the number one pick, but then the Spurs ended up winning the lottery and getting Victor Wembanyama.
So, yeah.
The Rockets were a coin flip away from getting Wemby.
Talking about the... Yeah.
Oh, man. Something similar actually happened in the FCS 2 years ago. The Ohio Valley, it was UT Martin and Southeast Missouri. They had a coin toss that they broadcast on their Twitter account to see who got the AQ for the FCS playoffs.
You know what they should do?
You have a weird set of knowledge, Austin.
Yes.
You have like a weird depth of sports knowledge. I appreciate
it. It's super valuable because it's all the things that we know nothing about.
Yes.
It is, or at least I know nothing about. You have a little bit of hockey knowledge, but it's hockey, FCS football, CFL. There's probably something.
Wait, are you telling me like I can get CFL takes from you?
Potentially.
How are the Argos looking?
They won on a single.
I don't know what a single. Oh, I do in baseball.
All right. King of Twitch says, sorry, ND will never get a number one seed in the bracket. You know what, King of Twitch? You're wrong. They don't need the number one seed.
Oh, okay.
Notre Dame set themselves up better than anyone else. Because if they go undefeated, they're the five seed. Then who do they play first? They're going to play Liberty or whoever that is.
Boise
and
State
then when they win that game, they're not going to play an SEC or a Big Ten school probably. They're probably going to play a Big 12 or an ACC school. So like, I actually think their path to the Final Four before they lose by 50 is actually really good.
I rather have the bye, but I understand. This is a common take that the five seed is better than the... Like, being the five seed is better than being the four seed.
Yeah.
I still...
Because the four
seed... I still would just rather have the bye at all times. Like, just get me a round further in the playoffs without playing.
I definitely understand that. But, like, if, you know, the Big 12, let's say, you might have a four-loss champion as the four seed in the college football playoffs. Because it's an auto-conference bid.
Yeah.
So, you might have a team that pulls an upset in the conference championship game that doesn't really deserve to be there. And then all of a sudden, the five seed, whoever it is going to have the best matchup to get into the semifinals.
I also think the five seed a lot of years will just be the team that lost the SEC title game.
Or Notre Dame.
I think it'll be the team that lost the SEC title game. If you think about it, it'll be like Georgia, Alabama.
Yeah.
Versus Notre Dame.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're undefeated. If they're, they have to have one loss. They can't be a two-loss team. My favorite thing of college football is back. It happened this weekend. Montana State got paid $360,000 to play New Mexico, and then they won.
Boom.
I love that stat. I love when you see, like, the Appalachian State got, like, what, like $2 million to beat Michigan?
Yeah.
Like, that is a great thing.
Austin, got anything on Montana State?
I have them in my top four right now.
Okay.
Bobcats?
Yeah.
We discovered that on Friday. We were trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Because Paul said they were the Bears.
And looking at the logo, they're very clearly a Bobcat. Like, if you just pull up the logo and you look at it, you're like, that's a Bobcat.
He was looking at the ESPN, like, scores, and I was like, that's not a Bear, dude. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they're in Austin's top four for a reason. They're good FCS teams. And what we learn every September is, oh, yeah, really good FCS teams, like the top level of FCS teams, can really beat the worst FBS teams and probably should beat the worst FBS.
Maybe we should have like an expanded playoff. The top FCS team versus the group of five champion, the last one.
Oh, okay.
Winner gets the 12 seed in the college football.
I thought you want Notre Dame to host FCSU.
No, only if they beat Liberty.
Okay.
But like I think we just expand it a little bit more. Just keep it going. And then last week there was this very random, no one knew what it was about, press conference being held by Texas A&M and the University of Texas.
Yes.
At first, it was like, is there any chance they're going to do a neutral site game? Which, thankfully, they're not. Like, they're not going to do that. It's just some sponsorship that they're going to be doing.
Yeah, the game is brought to you by some company.
And there's going to be a cup handed out every year, it looks like, between the two schools, where they're going to do all the sports combined.
Yes.
So soccer and whatever, basketball, baseball, all that will contribute to the cup. But I thought the one part of this was interesting was they asked the A&M athletic director, I guess only about this, about if the SEC is guaranteed that A&M and UT will play every year. And he said they're hopeful.
Yeah. Because
that would be a huge mistake by the SEC.
What the SEC did was they couldn't get everyone to agree to a 9-game conference schedule where they could set up where you have three permanent opponents and you rotate the other six.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get teams to agree to that because SEC teams are terrified of playing more SEC teams. They only want to play eight conference games.
They got to play like that FBS school.
Yeah, exactly. Especially like the South Carolinas, the Kentuckys of the world, where playing an FCS school is what gets them into a bowl game a lot of years, as opposed to having to play another SEC team. So what they're doing is their schedules for this year and next year are literally just temporary. They just pick the schedule.
Just because.
And then next year, it's going to be the same schedule, just you flip home and road.
See, yeah.
And then, so they're just giving themselves an extra 2 years to figure out the scheduling going forward.
Okay, my conspiracy theory is that because they know that they'll be expanded by them.
That they're not committing.
They know that the ACC is going to blow it up.
They're not committing to like a long-term thing because they know they're going to have to redraw it again.
Yeah. They know that they're going to go into, at minimum, a 20-team conference.
Yeah. That's not a terrible That's not a terrible idea. Even if they specifically aren't getting Florida State or Clemson or Miami or whoever, but they want to scoop up North Carolina or another one, the ACC teams.
Oh, in case you missed it, the Big 12 is expanding. They're adding UConn. It's not official yet, but there was a meeting about that this week. Now, this is the second time we've heard the Big 12 is looking to expand again. Before, it was like in January, we got reports about Gonzaga. So apparently they're just like saying like, screw football. And they're going to become the best basketball conference we've ever seen. We wake up with Gonzaga, UConn, the Cougs, Kansas, Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, Baylor is good. Like,
it is an interesting... It's an interesting bet to be like, there's nothing the Big 12 can do to be a football conference on the level of the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So, we're gonna pivot. Yeah, what do you pivot? It's like, okay, so we're obviously everyone wants to be number one in the number one sport. But what if we're so far number one in the number two sport that maybe you're not going to be on the same level as those other two conferences, but that is a path of survival and
yeah,
really
100%.
A path to really set yourself apart from the ACC, who traditionally is more of a...
And then when the ACC blows up and you get a couple of those teams...
Yeah, it's traditionally they're more of a basketball...
Might as well just get Duke and North Carolina while you're at it in the Big 12. And just like... college basketball is the Big 12. At that point, just
get Virginia, all the like recent champions.
Yeah, like just bring them all in. All right, when we get back, one of the funniest injuries I've seen. There's a couple of them that we've seen. We got two, not our personalities, the big ESPN personalities, just embarrassing themselves and trying to do athletic competitions. We'll get into that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, a couple texts here from the 936. Let's see. Okay, this is just Eric texting us in about this. And this person now back, angry texting about past members of the Wheelhouse.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I like that.
What a random thing.
It's not even the time slot.
I know. They must be like really peeing your Cheerios. Like, but thank you for listening to us. Assuming you're listening and not just texting. Which is like,
and hopefully you're not.
I guess texting. Like is possible.
Again, in 3 years, he might be texting about how much he hated us.
That's a good point. Or just might not. Might do it now during a different show period. All right. So a couple funny things happened over the weekend. ESPN's Field Yates, who I'm a big fan of, he dislocated his shoulder. Doing like a fancy football thing?
Yes, him and his buddies. I don't know if there's college buddies or whatever. Have this activity or like they do some Olympic type decathlon to determine the draft order for their fantasy football league, and they do it in the Bahamas on the beach.
Good move.
Yes,
to have money would be awesome.
I know. I want to say, didn't he like play lacrosse or something?
I think so.
And he was hospitalized because apparently part of their I guess decathlon that they're doing is tackling dummy on the beach. And I will give Field Yates this. He destroyed this tackling dummy.
He did.
Unfortunately, in doing so, he also destroyed his shoulder and had to be hospitalized with a dislocated shoulder.
That's
a very
tough.
Funny video.
I mean, did he at least get the first pick?
I don't know. I haven't seen the follow up on that.
That's the real question. It's like, was it worth it? To do said activity. Like, imagine getting hurt doing that, and
he has the sixth pick.
Yeah, like that was what I was worried about last year when.
What?
Last year, the producers did a fantasy football league, and like there was like a race up the stairs or something.
Yeah.
I know, Sean, you won.
Yes, I did win. I imagine that as middle management Joe, as Paul likes to call you, that in your head you were a lot – it did cross your mind that like, God, I hope no one slips doing this.
Yeah, probably one of those things where I was like, this is one of those moments where I'm just like, underqualified because like I don't think about that stuff until like it was happening. I wasn't there. I just took the last pick because I was like, I'm not doing this, guys. Like, there's a massive age gap, but but Brian and I were significantly older than pretty much all the producers. But now Brian participated. I did not. I just was like, I'm just gonna take the
you opted out.
Yeah,
and maybe a smart move, I don't know, but also not a smart move of letting us do it in the first place.
Yeah,
but I think it was something where we said that there would be events, and then we didn't really like specify until the day like before.
Yeah, we need to. I'm trying to decide if we're gonna do like a league this year. We have like a week and a half to figure it out at this point. But
Austin, do you want to be in a league?
I mean, I'd be down if okay, y'all decide
so
to.
We got three.
All right,
BMAC's probably down. That's four.
Yep.
Now we just need six more.
Eight more
for a 12-team.
Yeah, I go 12-team. I like 12-team better.
Okay. I was just thinking 10's like the bare minimum. Yeah, and right now we're starting at four.
Yeah, we got plenty of staff members.
Okay.
And then, so what's like the weirdest way you've ever hurt yourself? Do you have a Field Yates story in your bag?
It's not quite a Field Yates story, but it is the only time I've ever broken a bone, and it is pretty stupid. Okay. When I was a child, I would say I looked up to the good members of the group of stars of both screen and or movies and television of Jackass.
Okay. Yep.
But I was a kid, so I couldn't really do the more extreme Jackass stunts. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to implement it into my everyday life. Just little things here and there where I felt like I was Johnny Knoxville.
Okay.
Shawnee Knoxville, if you will.
Okay.
And so I just started a contest with myself. No one else was involved with this. We're every day walking down the stairs of outside my house off the front porch. There's like probably six or seven stairs. I would just jump off higher and higher every day until one day I just jumped off the top step and I broke my arm when I landed on the concrete.
Mm. That's tough, dude.
And there's not really any, like, there's no, I mean, at least Field Yates was doing this for a draft pick. I was just kind of doing it just to prove myself. I don't know what I was trying to prove.
Just prove yourself to yourself.
Yeah, I thought I was invincible. And, yeah. Yeah, no, I broke my wrist and was in a cast for a month.
Okay. Let's see. I think I have two. So my first one, I was really young. So obviously not a tall person. Clearly.
Yes.
We've been over this.
Long time listener. If you're not on YouTube.
I'm short. Okay. Yes. There was this second grade.
Okay.
I had my first growth spurt, like really. But before second grade.
You had your growth spurt. Got it.
For second grade. I was short enough to where I could run underneath all of the playground stuff without ever having to duck. So I was at the school for less than 15 minutes when I stood up underneath the playground and I had grown and cracked my head open. And my mom and dad, who had just started teaching in that school district on their first day.
I forgot your parents are teaching.
Had to get a phone call saying your son cracked his head open. The first day of school. My other one, I broke my leg my last year, or I fractured my leg my last year of football when I was a senior. And I was only supposed to miss a couple weeks.
Could have gone pro.
Yep. I was only supposed to miss a couple weeks.
Oh, no.
Well.
Wait.
I wasn't technically cleared yet to do anything. And so I went and played tackle football with my buddies at the park. And I got tackled and refractured my leg because it was not healed yet. Not my most. And then missed.
That's
and look.
Bad.
What am I missing out on? I'm missing out on, like, probably concussions from being on the kickoff return and kickoff team. Like, that's pretty much the extent of my playing time in high school. But, look, B-Mac's here. Hey, B-Mac, what's your dumbest way you've hurt yourself?
Joe. Oh, well, I've got two, actually. I'll keep them super quick. I had the bright idea. Me and some buddies were at, I don't remember what lake this is. It's near Trinity somewhere. Southeast Texas, but we had the bright idea to play golf cart football, which is as safe as you could imagine.
Sounds
and,
fun.
I took the worst role in that. I wasn't the guy standing flat on the ground throwing the ball or the guy driving. I was the guy who decided to try to lean out of a moving go-kart or a golf cart and catch the football, and I caught it, but I came down and smacked my head and I busted myself open. pretty badly. The weirdest part was I remember waking up. I don't know how long I was out. But when I woke up, I saw, like, little bits of blood and, I guess, skin. And I could see, like, ants already crawling to it and trying to get to it. It was probably the dumbest thing I've ever done. But when you guys were talking about that, I had to share that story. The other one was super quick. I once tore my ACL in a high school Battle of the Bands mosh pit. So that was a fun moment.
That's not dumb, though. That's just Battle of the Bands.
It's just Battle of the Bands. All right. Well, thank you, B-Mac.
It's not a good story. All right. See ya.
Yeah. All right. What's the dumbest way you've hurt yourself? Text in 713-780-3776 to Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975 and ESPN Houston's YouTube channel as well. We can just read those the rest of the show if they're good.
I know.
Then
we probably have another segment of this.
Whatever you guys got. And plus, we'll get back into the breaking news for the Astros that they have signed or they're nearing a deal with Jason Hayward and all the cuts going on with the Texans. And DJ Bieniemy from ESPN.com will also join us coming up at 2 o'clock. It's Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.